Hi, this is Susie with In His Shoes Ministries welcoming you to the next step with Father Vazgen. Since 2008, we have been producing these podcasts on a weekly basis for those who are seeking practical and deeper applications of their faith and spirituality in their lives today. There's no need to check your brain in at the door. Armadoxy is a practical approach to melding spirit and passion in the real world. These podcasts are part of the expanding vision of the In His Shoes Ministry and provided by epostle.net, apostolic evangelism for an electronic and expanding universe. So turn up the volume and get ready to take the next step.
It's the same book. It's the same book. It's called Bible, right? It's called Bible. What, isn't it wild? I'm not talking about different translations. You know, there are different translations in each of the languages, in fact. And English is noted for that. There's a wide variety of translations. I'm not talking about translations. I'm talking about the book itself, the Bible. I'm not talking about different languages. But why is it possible to have two different, three different, four different, 100 different people read the same book and come up with 100 different ideas? You say, no, that's not possible. Well, of course it's possible. Look at the number of Christian denominations, right? Not churches, denominations. Hundreds of them, right? I don't know what the last count was. I remember at some point, a count of 200 was the mainline denominations. Of course, we're not talking about the fringe groups. But it was wild. This week, I was listening to somebody talk about issues that were taking place in the world from a Christian perspective. And I'm listening and I'm saying, wait a minute, this is a Christian perspective completely different from mine. And in fact, I alluded, well, even more than alluded, I came straight out and I said, this is not, we were talking about a specific incident. I said, this is not a Christian perspective. And I'm listening the other day and there's a guy who's talking from Christian perspective, so-called Christian perspective, completely diametrically opposed to what I would make out of the gospel. What is that gospel message? What is the Bible? And I think that this is a fundamental question that is gnawing at who we are as Christians. I shared with you last week about the usurping, about people who have taken over the Christian name. And we're completely lost. We've lost track of who's who in the Christian world. Everybody comes along and they have their interpretation of Scripture. And it was interesting because, last Thursday we were celebrating Ascension Day. And the scriptural passage in Ascension is, all authority has been given to me on heaven, in heaven and on earth. And it didn't really click to me until Sunday when I preached about it in church, about how powerful of a message this is, because the authority in heaven and on earth is the completion. It's the verb to be. He is. Complete. Total. It's the connection with all of the universe. Heaven and on earth. And on Ascension Day, here is Jesus Christ coming with full authority in heaven and on earth, and he gives a command to go out and preach what I have taught you and baptize people in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Now, wasn't one of his teachings that do not worry about tomorrow, specifically, right? Wasn't one of his teachings that do not calculate the end times? Do not worry about what's going on. And yet, we're consumed by this. So I'm getting ready to do this podcast today, and I've got my notes going, and what happens? What happens? No, Jehovah's Witness cannot come to my door anymore. We are in lockdown. They cannot come and bother you. But wait. The next best thing. I couldn't make this up if I wanted to. As I'm getting ready to come in front of the microphone, my phone rings. There's a number that I do not recognize. So I did not answer it. I let it go to voicemail. You ready? This is what was left on my voicemail just an hour or so ago.
Hi, Boskin. My name is Chantel, and I'm a local neighbor of yours, and I'm also one of Jehovah's Witnesses. And normally, we would be out in the neighborhood, you know, and sharing some encouraging news, especially during this tough and uncertain time. But being that we can't be out door-to-door, we still wanted to reach out to our neighbors to leave something encouraging with you. I wanted to share a scripture with you from the book of Revelation, chapter 21, verses 3 and 4. And it says, God will wipe out every tear from their eyes, and death will be no more. Neither will mourning, nor outcry, nor pain be anymore. The former things have passed away. So I wanted to leave this scripture because it gives a little bit of hope in regards to the future, even though some things may seem uncertain at this time. So I hope that you enjoyed this message, and if you'd like to know more, please feel free to give me a call back. My name is Chantel, and I hope you have a great day. Thank you.
Pretty wild, huh? We've got a pandemic going on. You can't go door to door. So I get a telephone call. And there's a few things. First of all, I'm just fascinated by the way Jehovah's Witness operates. I'm truly fascinated. First of all, how they've got a marking on everybody. The only thing I'm really surprised is that this message came in English. It wasn't in Armenian, because I know that they have us tagged on our street. The Jehovah's Witness who come to our house are Armenian speaking Jehovah's Witness. So this was interesting that it wasn't tagged as an Armenian speaker, that I'm an Armenian speaker. But anyway, it was a phone call. I'm just fascinated. Okay, they can't pound the pavement, so now we're going to come and we're going to get you by a phone call. And did you hear the message? Want to give you hope. We want to let you know. And what did they let us know? Did you catch what they're quoting? In case you missed it, they quote Revelation chapter 21 specifically. Wow. Okay, so here's the thing. This is where I was going to start off, and now this kind of, the Jehovah's Witness came into the picture too. I wanted to share with you the idea that we're all reading the same book. We're all reading the Bible, and yet there are so many different interpretations of that Bible. Now, don't get ahead of me. I'm going to talk about interpretation. But don't get ahead of me. Listen to what's going on. Why is it that we can get into a system where we're all reading out of the same book and we're all reading something different? And I'll tell you why. It's not because the book is different. It's because we're searching out things that we specifically want. Case in point, this call that I got, the Jehovah's Witness. Which part does she want me to read? She wanted me to read this section out of Revelation. Now, let's suppose I was just somebody who had no ties with religion, okay? I was somebody who didn't know Scripture. Not that I'm an expert at it, but I've read it. I know what's going on. Okay, I will not pretend that I can, I do not even dare to say that I can read Revelation, because Revelation is, what does it say? John the seer of the Revelation, who gives us the Revelation. John says it. If anyone adds or subtracts from this book of prophecy, it's the last verse in the book of Revelation, the last book in the Bible, the last verse in the Bible. If anyone adds or subtracts from this book of prophecy, and then he lists off these punishments, right? He lists off what will happen to the guy. Do not even dare. Well, why? Because it's a book of prophecy. Are you a prophet? I'm not. Who's going to dare to go there and say, I will interpret this for you? Especially when Jesus Christ himself says, those things are not for you to know. It's not up for grab. God decides that tomorrow is the end of the world. He decides it's in a million years from now. None of your business. In fact, to demonstrate this point, let's work through a little scenario, okay? The end of the world comes tomorrow. And you stand in front of God. And now you've got your calculations because you've calculated, you know, that it's supposed to be in the year 2023. Hypothetically, right? And don't think that this is weird, okay? Jehovah's Witness began as a group, as a so-called religion. It began with the idea that they had the date on which the end of the world was going to come. And there was 144,000 people that were going to be saved. Okay? And, well, there's more than 144,000 Jehovah's Witness. So you mean if I'm a Jehovah's Witness, I'm not saved? No, you're not. They've got counting. Anyway, long story short, they predicted in 1913, it didn't happen. They predicted 1917. They predicted in 1921 or 23. I can't remember what it was. And they kept doing it. And finally, they got to a point where they figured out, hey, the end of the world's not coming. So I don't think they publicized that date if they do have it. But let's suppose that the end of the world came tomorrow. And you had the calculation that it was in 2023. And you're standing in front of God. What are you going to say? Well, you know, God, excuse me, but I've got this calculation. And I read the scriptures. I read the scriptures backwards forward. And I read them quite often. And I've come up with the theory that the end of the world is supposed to take place in 2023. Now, you're two and a half years, a bit early right now. That's the hypothetical conversation, right? That's what you're going to say? You're going to argue with God? I mean, this is so ridiculous. And it comes down to this, that people have selected and chosen the parts that they want to accentuate. So there will be people who will look at the scriptures and find exactly what they want and what makes sense to them. For instance, you've heard me say many times to me, one of the most beautiful parts of our responsibility as human beings is expressed by Jesus in the Gospel of Matthew. When he describes the end times, he doesn't give you a date, but he gives you what it'll be like. He says, I was lonely and you came and visited me. I was hungry and you fed me. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. People will say, hey, we never saw you thirsty or hungry or lonely or in prison or naked. What do you mean we helped you? And Jesus says, when you've done it for the least of my brothers, you've done it for me. Now, doesn't that seem like that's a moral imperative? Doesn't that sound like this is something we as Christians, as Jesus Christ followers, need to do? We need to be in on the program. That, you know, if there are people who are hurting in this world, we have to extend ourselves to them. Now, someone comes along and says, well, you know, in the Bible, I'm reading that God is going to be punishing people. And these lazy people, they're so lazy that they are hurting. They don't have jobs. And, you know, some of them are in prison. Now, somebody is justifying this by reading scripture. Same Bible, but they've taken what they want. I've taken what I've wanted, too. I've got to be honest with you. But I've taken what I've wanted because this is what makes sense to me. And here's what I'm getting at. You know, we always talk about cafeteria Christians as being something horrible, you know, like don't be a cafeteria Christian, picking and choosing the things that you want. Well, guess what? We already are. Already Just by being in a church with an affiliation, you've already chosen the parts that are important to you. The Adventists, they celebrate the Sabbath, or the Sabbath is remembered. It's a important part of their entire upbringing, of their culture, of their understanding, of their theology, that you have a respect for the Sabbath. That's a portion that they've taken, and they take very seriously. There are evangelists who go out into Africa, and they take the portion very seriously, that there are people in need, and Jesus said, bring the light of Christ, teach them, and so the Great Commission must go out, and we're going to go into Africa. There are others who still look and they say, well, you know what? Jesus gave a formula. He said, the clouds are going to get darker, there'll be a sign in the sky, and how about if we start reading those signs? So everybody comes into the game taking and picking out what they want from this big cafeteria called the Bible this time, okay? It's the Bible that's filled with all kinds of messages. I shared with you last week, many of the imagery that we have in our faith comes to us from those Bible stories. The idea that, you know, people will be punished, and not necessarily because of their deeds, but because of who they are, right? Who they are. They are not part of the chosen group. They are the unchosen group. They are part of the Egyptians. They're part of the Romans who held captive the Jews. And so you start setting up your divisions, your barriers. And in so doing, you start putting some kind of grading system on everybody. These people are better than the others. These people get into heaven. These people do not get into heaven. These people are justified. These people are not. And we make this mistake primarily. You're going to be interested in this. Listen very carefully. We make this mistake primarily because we read the stories of Jesus Christ. And when we read them, we think we can do what he does. That's right. I am he, as you are he, as you are me, and we are all together. Now, I didn't make that up. That's I am the walrus. But that's what happens, right? We get into this walrus mode. And we start believing that we can talk in the same way that Jesus talks. You can't, but we do. And so it's very easy for us to go into a church scenario and see them cooking or baking and selling items and walk in there and say, you know, Jesus came into the church and turned over the tables. Yeah, that's right, he did. That's right, he did. But he was Jesus, who was sinless, who understood the idea of what church was. Jesus also said, first remove the log out of your own eye so you can see the speck in your brother's eye, okay? Now, for some reason, we don't want to remember that one, but we want to remember that he turned over the tables. So we are down on religion because, okay, we walked into a church and they were selling some food items. Jesus said, first remove the log so you could see the speck in your brother's eye. That one is a tough one. So we pick and choose the ones that we want to follow. And it really, when you look at the number of denominations of Christianity, you have to wonder. Everyone's picking and choosing what they want. So this idea that cafeteria Christian is a wrong idea, I agree. You got to take the whole thing, or, you know, take the entire Christian experience. In other words, everything that Christ said to heart. But what we don't do is we don't give it the time, nor the energy, nor do we have the time or the energy. And so we pick and choose the things that are very nice to us. Case in point, we get to the Armenian Church. We talk about the Armenian Church as this apostolic, orthodox church. We don't even know what these words mean. In other words, there's people out there who claim that they are orthodox without knowing what that ortho means. Ortho. Straight. Now, who's going to say which one is the straight path? Well, orthodoxy says it because we come from the time of Jesus. We have apostolic succession. But where are we today? This is a very, very difficult point because nobody wants to admit that we've essentially taken the message of the gospel and we've mixed it around. We've kneaded the dough and we're presenting something, all of us, in different ways. And I don't care who they are. I've met some people that are neo-Orthodox, and that's great that they want to understand the correct immediate path. But they can't get over the Jesus quote about forgetting yourself. And so they are bloated. They can't get over the point that before you criticize somebody else, make sure you're clean. And so these fine points are very, very important for us to keep in mind when we're talking about Christianity. People have picked and chosen the ones that make sense for them. And then they come to the table and they say, well, we are Christian. And we say, well, that's beautiful. And they quote a few scriptures and they say, and we say, oh, that's even more beautiful that they know those scriptures. And it is beautiful that they know them. But where does Christ fit into those scriptures? You say, well, it's one and the same. No, it's not. It's not. When Jesus Christ says that you must pick up your cross and follow me, he's talking about a sacrifice. He's talking about giving of yourself. When he says, go and do to the least of my brothers, he's talking about a sacrifice that we need to make. Of our time, of our resources, of our money to give to others. And so the entire Christian conversation, the entire understanding of Christianity is being really stretched out. So much so that sometimes it becomes unrecognizable. Why don't we take a break right now, okay? Let's take a break. Give us a little bit of time to take in everything and listen to some music like we do every week. I picked out something from the Dixie Hummingbirds because it kind of follows in this whole thing. Different tradition. You want to listen to the music. Very nice, beautiful voices. And talk about a message that comes through in the song. We're going to be continuing on the other side in the second portion. I hope to get to some of the contemporary issues that are taking place in the world, namely right now what's going on in America, racial tensions that spurred up just last night over the killing of George Floyd. So we'll come back with that. Right now, Dixie Hummingbirds.
Found Jesus Christ. Oh, I found everything. I found where I can whatever years may bring, he took away my sin.
Jesus, Dixie Hummingbirds. Beautiful. Not only the words, the music, the melody, the spirit. Did you feel it? I mean, you know, this is one of those where you got to really kind of turn it up, or else put it up in your buds and just like listen. Just very, very soul-touching. I'll have a link on today's show notes to the song, all of their great music. You want to check that out. We are talking about different traditions, about different cafeterias, picking out what you want out of it, and finding out that really it's no different than what people have done, well, from the beginning of time, taking the things that they want. Somebody says, this is the way I believe, this is the way I believe. Do you want to argue about it? People argue, they resolve their conflicts, sometimes peacefully, sometimes violently. And it's really the entire, in those few sentences, you've got the entire history of the world. You've got the history of thought. When we could sit down and contemplate and share with one another, we develop on the thoughts of one person onto the other person. When we can't understand one another, we go to the routes of violence. We figure out ways of solving situations until, well, we can't solve them diplomatically, so we resort to violence. Did I just, like, put down entire world history in a couple sentences? Well, that's what it comes down to when we come to religion as well. You see, religion in itself has to have a purpose. This is why sometimes I get critical of religions that don't have purpose except to promote themselves. Now, arguably, you could say, well, all religions, all organizations are basically here for self-promotion. But what I'm saying is Christ did not come for that self-promotion. We put that self-promotion on his story, that he was self-promoting. Listen to the message that he came out and gave. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. It's right now. It's enacted in his presence. You're all invited. Everyone is invited. There are no chosen people. Everyone is invited to sit at the table with God. Now, you could understand that if you were in an exclusive organization and somebody came and talked about non-exclusivity, you would say, well, that guy, no, can't have him in there. And so he was shunned. He was outcast. But his message was so powerful that it continued 2,000 years later. Now, what we try to do is we come back to this message and we say, okay, Christ is at the center. And then we ascribe the things that are important to us. I mean, within the ethnic churches, Armenian church included, of course, we put on there that, you know, there has to be this idea of self-identity, of personal identity, of ethnic identity. And that's when we have trouble because you're in conflict, right? You cannot serve two masters, but we try to serve those two masters and we get into trouble. I mean, Jesus says it's either God or mammon. We say, okay, it's either God or nation. And we get into trouble. And it's really interesting when we come down to social issues, because to me, that faith eventually has to impact the way we deal with one another. I mean, Jesus says it so beautifully. I was in prison and you came to visit me. Okay? I mean, this is what I'm talking about. How could you read that and read something else into it? Doesn't that mean that you have to visit? He said, when I was in prison, you came and visited me. Somebody asks him, when did we see you in prison? When you visited the least of my brothers, you visited me. Now, how else can you interpret that? Does that sound like something we need to do? Or is that one of those optional conditions? And how can you preempt that with talk about end of times, end of world? You've got a catalog, and you've got a database, and you've got a calendar, and you're going to coordinate the catalog, the database with your calendar, and you're going to figure it out. You're going to come up with a date and a time. And meanwhile, Jesus in his teaching says, of that day, nobody knows. Not the angels, not the Son, only the Father. About that, Jesus tells his disciples who said, hey, what's going to happen? And Jesus says, what does it matter if I say this man should stay till the end of time? What's it to you? Follow me. What? Follow me? Yes. So this is what's really wild for me. It's like, how do we get into this situation where we miss the story of Jesus? We miss what he's telling us. He's saying, I leave this world, all authority has been given to me. Go there into the world and teach all that I have commanded you. How do we miss those commandments and instead go back to these basically God territory items? How do we get there? Now, last night here in America, there was rioting in Minnesota. In Minnesota, there was rioting, and it overflowed, and it came into Los Angeles. And those of you out of the country listening to this, we're talking about, you know, a good couple thousand miles between the two. Calculate that to kilometers. I don't know what it is, okay? But there was rioting. Rioting, why? Because a black man named George Floyd, 46 years old, died earlier this week as he was being detained by four police officers. And a video recorded by a bystander showed that Floyd was on the ground and one of the officers had his knee on Floyd's neck as Floyd, he was an unarmed man, says he couldn't breathe and they weren't allowing him to breathe. And subsequently he died. And in this tragedy, people saw that this was aggression by the police, and they went out protesting. The protesting became something which I don't understand. All of a sudden, protest became a riot. Somehow honoring this man who died, I'm saying this because I saw pictures and videos of it. They're running into stores and looting the stores. Okay, so people using an excuse. This poor black man who died, They're using the excuse of his death to go into stores and loot them and take off with merchandise, take off with money. You know, it's like, is there no shame? There isn't, is there? It's beyond hypothetical question. So sorry I even asked. But we're having looting now. We're having riots. We're having people protesting and moving that protest, escalating that protest into civil disobedience, well, beyond civil disobedience. It was just really disgusting when I saw people who had no concern about this man who had died just going in there and taking as many things as they could, handfuls of stuff, taking advantage of the opportunity. And now, why am I bringing this up? Well, don't you think something like that, that a church, a religion, a faith should have something to say about it? Remember how we started off the show? I said the conflicts are resolved. There's ways of talking about them, or there's ways of resolving them through violence. The church should always be standing for peace, should always be there as the one peace card, the method to find a peace and an equilibrium in the lives of the people. Jesus came, he was born in this world, peace on earth. When he left, he says, peace I give you. Peace. It's part of our Christian formula. Now, shouldn't a church, shouldn't a religion, and specifically Christianity, shouldn't Christianity have a say-so about what's going on in the world? Now, you see something like this. Okay, now you're entitled to your opinion. You could say that, well, he had it coming to him, or you could say that was horrible. Those are, until they get resolved, those are going to be opinions that people have and they share. And you could be on one side or the other. But you can't bring your Christian faith into that, because the Christian faith says go beyond that and look at the hurting people. And you should be out there helping this person, helping a community who is hurting. You should be one of the first responders by raising your voice against injustice. When you see a guy on the floor saying, hey, I need air, the most basic right, and I'm not talking about human right, I'm talking about the basic right. Once you come out of the womb, the first thing you do after the doctor slaps you, I don't know if they do that anymore, but anyway, the first thing you do is you take a breath. That's your right as a living entity. That's your right. George Floyd was restricted of his human right. Right? I can't breathe. And to stand on his neck, to put your knee on his neck and not stop to the point that he dies, something wrong there, right? Now, should religion, should faith have something to say about it? Absolutely. Because here's the bottom line question. Remember this question? What would Jesus do? What would Jesus do? And I'm going to venture out there and throw this out. I have a feeling that we've forgotten that question, especially recently, because in the pandemic, we don't want to think, what would Jesus do? Because we know what he would do. He would just go and sit with the leper. So you know that he would be in those COVID-19 wards with the people. We're scared to ask that question. And we've been scared, not only during this COVID-19, but we've been scared before that. Because to be a Christian implies that you have to be a little bit out on the edge, like Jesus was. Remember what we said at the beginning of the show. If you were talking about non-exclusivity, how would the exclusives take that? Jesus was out there. He was talking about the homeless, about those in poverty. He was talking about the hurting. He was talking about those in prison, those who were oppressed. And everywhere in that gospel that you read, you see this. You cannot read the gospel and not see this. This is the question that I started the day's show with. How could you be reading the same book and come out with some other understanding? And my answer to that is, you're not reading the same book. You're reading the parts and pieces that make sense to you. And we're all doing that. And we need to get with the idea that, you know, Christianity, when you talk about a book called the Bible, there are so many dimensions to it. These are books that have been written over a course of 2,000-3,000 years. These are books that have came from oral traditions into writing. These are books that are dated. They come from a certain time period. Now, do you throw that out? Of course not. Ridiculous. It's the breath of God. You cannot throw out the Bible, but you have to put it in context. You have to put it in context and understand that today you're in a world where that Bible has to mean something in the lives of people. Because there's too many people who are walking around looking for purpose, looking for definition, looking for identity. And you know that that Bible could give it, because in that Bible there is a Jesus who is compassionate, who is loving and caring. And instead we have taken that over and made it into a Bible of vengeance. A Bible where God is God and we get to decide what that God is like. We call the shots on who God is. Loves and God doesn't love. That's not what Jesus taught. And you know it. A look at the teachings of Jesus will force you to ask the question, what would Jesus do? What would Jesus do? It's that simple. He would love. He would open his arms. He would take the person in. And here's the bottom line. He would take us in with all of our faults. Every one of us is on the outside. Every one of us needs redeeming. Every one of us needs to be pulled in. And you see, that's what's missing out of so much of religion. We think we are God. And then we say everybody else will conform to these standards without realizing, hey, what about me? I'm not God. I need to conform to these standards. I need to fall into that pattern. And that pattern is only one pattern. It's about helping and loving and caring about one another. It's finding God in every single person. No exclusivity. No, we all belong to God. We all belong to God, and therefore we are all part of one family, God's family. Oh, yeah, we're going to break a little bit early right now. Here's Susie to make her announcement. When I get back, I'm going to share with you some...
Susie here again, reminding you that the next step is made possible through your prayers and generous donations. We invite you to check out our extensive archive about applied spirituality and Christianity for just about every life situation. You'll find past podcasts on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, Blueberry, and of course at the In His Shoes website. We're proud to have these podcasts available to our worldwide audience, with listeners added daily. To become a partner of this ministry, please consider donating by pressing on the donate button on our website. Your monetary contributions goes to maintain and further this dynamic mission, bringing the message of Armadoxy into the lives of a waiting world. Let us know if you'd like to sponsor a series of podcasts by dropping us a note at feedback@epostle.net. That's epostle with an E, Apostolic Evangelism for an Electronic World, .net. We now return to this week's Next Step with Father Vazquez.
Thank you, Susie, for that announcement. And thank you to all of our listeners for all your love, your support, and your prayers. And your prayers are moving us forward. For instance, next week we're going to be starting a new series of prayers. And I'm inviting you to be part of this. It's every single night. And every night there is a different focus to our prayers. Now, when I say night, it's on our time schedule, Pacific time with time zone, which is one of the last time zones before you get out there to Hawaii and everything. So most of you will have it earlier in the day or later in the night or whatever the case. It doesn't really matter because we're living in a global world, and once it streams, it'll just be there and you can find it and you can participate. But it's a prayer. Once a day, we're going to have prayers for unique and special circumstances with the focus. And right now, I mean, we're just finalizing the prayers and the prayer schedule. But right now, what we're looking at is Mondays, it's going to be prayers for the bereaved. In other words, we'll be remembering those people who have passed. Tuesday, prayers for the elderly. Wednesday, prayers for the doctors and healthcare workers. Thursdays, prayers for the unemployed. Big problem these days, prayers for the unemployed. Friday, it's going to be prayers for healing. Saturday, prayers for the prisoners. And Sunday, it's going to be prayers for the lonely. Now, I'm going to be doing the Sunday ones, prayer for the lonely. But every night of the week, we've got different priests doing it from different places in the Western Diocese. So you can get to know some of the other priests and follow along. You'll be able to share these prayers, and you'll be able to be a participant in these prayers by offering perhaps names or certain requests. This is a new project we're starting on. We're hoping it's going to be accepted, like so many of our projects, by the people, and accepted in a good way where they'll participate, not just, hey, you know, keep up the good work, I'm glad you're praying, but no, but by participating. These prayers are very important because it puts a focus on our lives, and prayers really do change the way we look at life. So please follow this along. There'll be a special announcement coming out next week, and right now we're looking at June 1st. So if you follow me on Facebook, there'll be something there. If you follow In Issues, there'll be something there. You'll be able to click on. By next week this time, when I join you, we will have the exact coordinates. So don't panic. It's all going to work out. That being said, I hope everyone's doing well. Today happens to be May 28th in Armenian history. It is the day of the first independent republic. It also is a time where we remember the Battle of Sardarabad, and I've spoken about that quite lengths in the past. I'm going to put a link on today's show notes so you could check out the Sardarabad story, which is an important one, important in the sense that church was involved in leading the people, in leading and giving that direction of strength. So do check that out in our show notes. Not only that, but everything else we talked about as well today. I want to thank you for joining us today. This Sunday happens to be Pentecost. It is the birthday of the church. It is a special celebration. You know what? I'll put a link on our show notes also to a message from previous years. You see, here's the problem. There's so many things to talk about. And yeah, I could give you a historical perspective. I could give you history and everything. But we got to get to some of the things that are pressing in our lives as well. So I will put links on the show notes. And look how fantastic this is. Also, the WD 168, where it is explained who the 16 Godfathers are. You will not want to miss that as well. That about does it for today. I hope you enjoyed today's show as much as we enjoyed producing it for you. Want to tell you to catch us on all the socials throughout the week. Check out all of our writings on armodoxy.org. And if you want to drop us a line, we're at feedback@epostle.net. Apostle with an E, that's Apostolic Evangelism for an Electronic and Expanding Universe. On behalf of the wonderful crew who put today's show together, Susie, our producer, Ken, our technical director, this is Father Voskin, inviting you to join us again next week when we will take the next step.
And now here's the fine print.
The information and comments presented within this podcast and our website do not necessarily represent the views of the Armenian Church hierarchy, but are presented as a challenge to define the dynamics of Armenian Orthodoxy in all aspects of life. Listening to these shows is habit-forming. Addictive behavior associated with the next step is rarely, if ever, remedied. Rather, the next step is known to relieve and cure common cases of narrow-mindedness, prejudice, numbskulledness, and glaucoma in patients over the age of 20. Results may vary depending on credit rating. Findings are based on double-blind studies conducted in Istanbul and Jerusalem. Side effects include mind expansion, clarity of focus, higher rates of heart palpitations, sensitivity to the pain of others, and occasional nausea. The management and production crew of epostle.net take full responsibility for changes you will experience. Not valid with any other offer.
I'm trying to think, but nothing happens.